We're going to be talking, the name of the service is Seed Time and Harvest. This will be a three-part. We're going to be teaching for the next three tonight and the next two Sunday nights. And so this will be a little mini-series. This is something that if you will hear this with fresh ears tonight, and you will set aside religiosity, and you will take hold of the Word of God for what it is, the Word of God, and you will take hold of your place in Christ as being one with him. You know, Christianity is not mere religion. It is the right to intimacy with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so tonight, I'm going to give you something. You'll see what Jesus says about it. And so if you will hear tonight's teaching, Seed Time and Harvest, with fresh ears, and see what the Lord is saying, I truly believe that your days of being held down in life are over, and you will begin to walk into a fullness, a greatness, a place of rich vitality, of joy and love and understanding of the presence of the God. His love for you is so far beyond anything that what we can understand. And the Lord's given us something, the Word of God, to show us as a roadmap through life of how to live in rich vitality. And so we don't have to be held under by life. I used to say, are you reigning in life? R-E-I-G-N. Are you reigning in life? Or are you being reigned on by life? And so you don't have to be reigned on by life anymore. You now can come to a place where you can reign in life. So let's take a look. Let's just go. I want to go over a few scriptures, just seeing what the Word of God says to us about what being born again is all about. Galatians 3:13 and 14 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. Notice the word in. He didn't say by Christ Jesus. It said in Christ Jesus. So you need to understand, being born again, we are in Christ. We are, in other words, one with Christ. So just that little word in shows you that we have oneness with Lord. Come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now I'm going to skip down to verses 26 to 29 in Galatians 3. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one. Notice the wording, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Verse 29, and if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Did you know that all the promises of God in the Bible, there's a lot of them, aren't there? Did you know that you are an heir to every one of those promises? They're for you. They're for you. Jesus means for you to realize and walk in and have them established in your life. I love that. We are heirs according to the promise. But notice the wording there where it says, if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Did you know that in one seed, you can get an apple seed, just one seed? Plant that seed into the ground, water it, tend to it, and eventually that seed will grow up. And eventually, if you leave it long enough, it'll grow up into a tree. What kind of tree? Apple tree. And did you know that that apple tree will produce fruit? And in each one of those apples, how many seeds do you think are in one apple? I've never counted them. But there's more than one, right? There's a group of seeds in that apple. So that one seed produces an apple tree that produces a multitude of seeds. It duplicated after its own kind, but it duplicated itself into multiplicity, into many seeds. And so Christ is that seed. We see that in Galatians 3:16. It says, now to Abraham and his seed, capital S, seed, were his promises made. So we see Jesus was the seed that produced. Just look around the room at the produce. So here we are, the produce of Christ, of what he did on the cross, what the seed did on the cross. That seed produced many that are walking in the promises of God. And so we now, as that seed, have the right to do what? Go out and lead other people to the Lord. And so we can bring that multiplicity into the world from the original seed. We become a type of a seed that brings the message of God to others. But notice what it said, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus, for as many of you who were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So when it talks about being baptized in Christ, of course, we think about baptism here in the church, you know, where we baptize people in water. That is really not what this is talking about. This is talking about, that is a type of baptism, but the baptism this is talking about here is becoming one with Christ. You were baptized into Christ. So this word baptized, it's important for us to understand what the Greek language, what the Greek word actually means. It's the word baptizo, and it means to immerse fully, to submerge, to become overwhelmed with. If we're talking about water, being baptized in water, then you are, when a person is baptized into water, they go under the water, right? They become what? Fully wet. All right? So when they come back up, they're immersed. They're fully wet with that water. Well, that is a symbolic picture that is trying to get you to understand who you are in Christ. You are fully submerged into the anointed one. Did you know the word Christ in the Greek language means the anointed one? And so you've been immersed, baptized, become one with, fully wet with the anointing. You're fully wet with the life of God. You are one with him. And I always say this, I love it. If you're one with the Lord, then you're one with his word. Amen. You're one with every promise. Ephesians 2:6 says, and he raised us up together and made us sit together. Now, this is all talking about the result of being born again. We've been raised up together and he made us to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And I always like to tie verse 2:6 here in with the latter part of chapter 1, when it says, far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, and every name that can be named in this age and in the age to come. And so, because it's talking about seated with Christ. So if we're seated with him, where are we? I call it the seat of authority, far above all principality and power and might and authority and every word and name that can be named in this age and in the age to come. So you can see just reading it that way, wow, we've been given some rights and privileges as believers on this earth. We're not, I remember Pastor Bradford who was here many years ago, he used to say, we're not weak worms of the dust. And so you have to know, you're not a weak worm of the dust. You're a child of the king. You're a child of God. You're a king's kid here in this earth with all the rights and privileges of the word of God. Look at John 17:22. And the glory which you gave me. Now, this is Jesus talking. And the glory, he's talking to the Father. And the glory with which you gave me, I have given them. Whoa! Have you ever looked at those words? See, sometimes I think we read the Word of God too fast. We need to slow down. I needed to look at that. Jesus saying, okay, and the glory you gave me, I have given them, us. Did you know that you've been given the right to walk in his glory? You're one with him. You've been given the right to walk with his word. You've been given the right to walk in his love. You've been given the right to walk with the Holy Spirit. You've been given the right to walk in his glory. I think we're some special people here on this earth, don't you? Look at Isaiah 61. Now, he's talking, of course, to Israel. But look what he says here. Arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. I remember probably 25, 30 years ago, I was reading through the word and I came to this scripture. And all of a sudden the Lord said, this is me speaking to you. He said, memorize this. This is me speaking to you. Dan, arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. And I typed it out and I put it right next to my bed. For years I had it there. Every morning I'd wake up and go to turn the alarm clock off. There it was, you know, Rise, shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. You need to take hold of that scripture. You need to make that scripture yours. You need to memorize it. It's short. You can easily memorize it. But every day, maybe put it on your mirror where you brush your teeth. Put a post-it note there, something. And where you look in the mirror and you're going to see yourself and you see that scripture, arise, shine, for your light has come. It's talking about you. Put your name there. You know, Stephen, arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. And just let that soak into you. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. The word glory here in the Hebrew language is the word kavod, and it means weightiness, that which is substantial or heavy, splendor, power, wealth, authority, magnificence, fame, dignity, riches, and excellency. It's who God is. It's the essence of God. Did you know that God is heavy? You know, I'm a child of the 60s. And so back in the 60s, we used to go, oh, man, that's heavy, man. Ooh, that's heavy, dude. Woo. That was the word heavy. It's heavy. Somebody would say something. You'd go, oh, man, that's heavy. Yeah, man, you're laying on something heavy on me. Well, I got news for you. God is from the 60s. You know why? God is heavy. He's weighty. He's heavy with the anointing. And guess what? You're one with him. You're in his heaviness. You're in his weightiness. You should expect favor in your life every day. Then a great verse of scripture. And I remember this day when this hit me. Luke 12:32. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I remember I was reading this, setting, I know the address of the house I was living at when I read this, sitting on my bed, I was reading it, and I read that scripture, and it's in red letter. It's Jesus talking. You believe the red letter part? That's Jesus talking. He said, do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I read that, and I went like, I just threw my Bible down on the bed, and I stood up, and I shouted, woo! I said, well, then have a good time with me today. It's his pleasure to give you the kingdom. Not just a part of the kingdom, all of the kingdom. Praise God. I wish I had a little time right now to go off on a few scriptures on the kingdom, because it's a powerful stuff. You have the kingdom of God functioning on the inside of you right now. Okay, I'm blessed. Now what? Well, I'm glad you asked that question, so let's move right into it. Matthew 6:31-32. Says, therefore do not sorrow, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. You know, when you ever come across the word Gentile in the Bible, a lot of people say, well, Gentiles, people who aren't Jews. Well, that's the way the Jews look at it. However, the word Gentile actually means people without a covenant. So let me ask you a question. Are you a Gentile? You are not a Gentile. Why? You are in the new covenant. Now, according to the Jews, you're not under the old covenant. So you're not one with them. So you're a Gentile. You're on the outside. Well, I would say to that Jewish person, well, that's okay. I'm under a better covenant that includes the old covenant. How about that? And so, yeah, I'm not a Gentile. I'm one with the Lord. And so, for after all these things, the Gentiles seek, in other words, people without a covenant seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Many Christians believe that faith will take care of all their needs. What they don't understand is that faith was designed to operate according to a designed system. You ought to write that down. Faith was designed to operate according to a designated system. This is where people miss it. Jesus said, your heavenly Father knows that you have needs. He knows that. And he's not trying to keep the answer from you. He's trying to get it to you. So let me ask you a question. Do any of you have needs that you are believing for right now? Of course, we all do. Your heavenly Father knows all about those needs. Look at Philippians 4:19. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Did you know that scripture's in the Bible? And my God shall supply all. He didn't say some. He didn't say a couple. He said all. And I got news for you about the word all in the Greek language. It's the word pan, pas, or panta. And guess what it means? All, with nothing left out. That's exactly what it means. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches. Oh, you know that. Did you know God has riches? There's no riches richer than God's riches. God has it all. According to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. According to his riches in that weightiness, in that heaviness by Christ Jesus. Now, I love the New King James, but I'm gonna open something up here. That word by, where it says, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, the word by is not a good translation for the New King James. And I love the New King James, but got to understand, all Bible translations are translations out of the Greek or out of the Hebrew. And so all Bibles have a little bit of translational error, a little bit. 99% of it is all accurate. But once in a while, you get a little word that's translated wrong. Here is the word by. It does not say by in the Greek language. It says, it uses the word en, en. And so en means in. And so it should be translated as, he will supply all your need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And so that's exactly what we've been talking, that oneness. Are you in Christ? Are you born again? So he's going to supply all your needs according to his riches and glory because you are in the anointed one, because you are in him. And if you're in him, then you are in his weightiness. Then you are in his supply. He's not holding it back. It's already there for you. We are in him, and he knows about it, and he has the supply. Then why do we allow worry and fear to overwhelm us? Well, that becomes a condition of the heart. This is why it's so important for us to have our minds renewed to the truth of the Word of God. You see that in Romans 12, 1 and 2. It talks about renewing your mind to the Word. Well, let's look at the revealed order of things. Matthew 6, 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. How can we seek the kingdom of God if we don't know what it is? Look at Matthew 6, 33 in the Amplified Version. And the Amplified Version basically takes keywords out of the scripture and amplifies them out of the Greek or out of the Hebrew. So the Amplified Bible, the Amplified Classic Bible, if you can find one of the older classic ones, is very accurate, and it's really an amazing translation. And it says this, but seek, aim at, strive after, first of all, his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right. And then all these things taken together will be given you besides. I like that. Let me go back over that again. But seek, aim at, strive after, first of all, his kingdom and his righteousness. So it's telling us to strive to seek after his kingdom and his righteousness. Well, what is his kingdom? And then it tells you what it is. It is his way of doing. His way of doing things. We have to stop trying to work. Let me say it this way. If you get born again, you know, we're living in the world, we're not born again, then we become born again, and we take the world's mentality and we bring that into the kingdom of God, and we try to operate the kingdom in the kingdom of God with the world's mentality, you're going to have problems. It's not going to work. But if you come into the kingdom of God and you submit yourself and you set yourself on a path to discover his way of doing, his way of working the kingdom, that's when we become a student, or we become what's called a disciple, and we begin to learn of him, which is revealed in the Word of God. The kingdom of God, how it functions, is revealed within the Word of God. His way of doing and being right. Then all these things taken together will be given you besides. Look at Mark 4, 26 through 32. Now, this is where, when I said in the introduction that we're going to, that Jesus is going to tell us all about the kingdom. He's going to tell us how to operate in it. So pay attention to what he says here. Mark 4, 26 and 32. And he, Jesus, said, the kingdom of God is. When you hear Jesus talk like that, you know what you ought to do? Stop. Remember what Pastor, was it Pastor talking this morning about E.F. Hutton? About Nolan? You know, E.F. Hutton? If you remember that commercial, everybody's in the cafeteria, and then one guy, and everybody's talking and having conversations, and then one guy says, well, my broker, E.F. Hutton, says, and he's going to tell him what E.F. Hutton said, and all of a sudden, whoosh, everybody gets quiet, and everybody leans in to hear what E.F. Hutton had to say about investing. So did you know that that's Jesus has better direction than E.F. Hutton? And he'll show you how to work, how to function, and how to prosper in life. So he says, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. What's he talking about? If you look at Mark chapter 4 earlier in the chapter, it says that the sower sows the word of God. So the seed is the word of God. And he says here that the kingdom of God is if a man should scatter or sow, plant seeds on the ground. And he should sleep by night and rise by day. And the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself. First the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. So what is this a picture of? It's a picture of putting a seed into the ground. Have you ever done that? Have you ever planted a seed? I think if you want to, I don't know if all the elementary schools do it today, but they used to do it like first, second grade. You get little milk cartons or whatever they use today. We had milk cartons back then. We cut them in half and filled them with dirt, and then we'd plant seeds into it and put them in the window in the classroom. We'd water them. And you know what? Next day when we came to class, we fully expected there to be a big old plant there in those cartons. Guess what? Dirt. There was no plant. And so it took probably, you know, it takes a week, 2 weeks, and then all of a sudden the ground starts to lift up and a little sprout starts to come through. And of course, you know, everybody was excited when they saw their little green sprout poking up. But it took a while. And so what it was teaching the children is patience. That when you plant a seed, you need to have patience. It takes a while for that seed to grow. Did you know that there's a lot of Christians that'll take one word of God and they'll say, well, by his stripes I'm healed, and they expect instant results. Well, Jesus said the kingdom of God is like planting seeds. So you know what we ought to be doing? We ought to be planting seeds every day. Why? So that way you get a continual harvest. Eventually you'll have a harvest coming up all the time. Then he said, verse 30, then he said, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? It is like a mustard seed, which, when it was sown on the ground, is smaller than all the seeds of the earth. But when it was sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. So what Jesus is saying here in these two parables, he is saying that God's way of doing things in the kingdom of God is sowing seeds. Did he say that? He said that. So I am always puzzled when I hear Christians say that they don't read the word. Because I look at them and I'm going, so you don't plant seeds? You're going to be frustrated as a Christian because you're going to be hoping for things. Can you imagine a farmer going out to his fields? He has a tractor. My grandparents are farmers, so I've seen this process over and over. And they got this long thing they hook up to the tractor, and they go and they plow the fields and everything. And boy, the fields have rows and everything else, and it's nice and dirt, and it's ready to go. But this farmer doesn't plant any seeds. And he keeps going out every day, checking his, he has hope. He wants a lot of corn. He wants a lot of wheat. He wants a lot of oats because he wants to sell those things and he needs to pay off bills and everything. So every day he gets up early and he goes out to his fields and he drives through them looking. He goes back home. His wife says, well, did you see anything? Nothing coming up. Next day he goes out again. Wife, do you see anything? Just weeds. I don't see any corn. I don't see any wheat. She goes, well, did you plant anything? No. I want these things. I'm hoping for, I need these things. And so what would we say to that farmer? That's foolish. You're expecting something, but you didn't plant any seeds. But you're expecting a harvest. And Jesus said the kingdom of God is like a man sowing seeds. So we have to understand that we need to take hold of the word of God and we need to start planting some seeds. The word of God is, if I can simplify it, this is almost sacrilegious, but it's not. The word of God is like a seed bag. You've got seeds with the word of God. I could lose everything I own, but don't take my Bible away from me, because I can sow more seeds and get it back. You know, take the word. And this is why I memorize the word. So if anybody did take my word, I've got it on the inside. Praise God. Notice verse 32 says, when it is sown, it springs up. If we don't get some seed in the ground, we shouldn't expect a harvest. God's gift, let's take a look at God's gifts and provision to man. Genesis 1, 26 through 29. Did you know that God gave mankind some things in Genesis? He gave us some gifts. Let's take a look at it. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea. This is one of my fishing scriptures right here. I got a hold of this years ago, and so when I started going on fishing trips with the men's group, it says here, does it not say that you have dominion over the fish? So I'd go fishing with these guys. I'd cast out, set my line down, set my rod in my rod holder, and then I'd bend down, grab a hold of the line and put my hand in the water, and I'd say, fish, I have dominion over you. I'm calling every big fish. You little ones, get away. But I'm calling you fish to come and take hold of my bait. And then I'd go to my other line and I'd do the same thing. And you know what? I started catching a lot of fish. What was I doing? I'm sowing seeds. It's for the natural. And you people may laugh at this, but Richard's here. He catches a lot of fish too. We believe this scripture. And so I've been on lakes where nobody else is catching anything. And I've caught like 50 trout in a day, 51, 52. I had people coming up to me during the day and going, what are you doing? I've been watching you through my binoculars. You're just catching fish after fish. Nobody's catching fish on this lake. And I'd say, well, this is the line I have. This is the bait I'm using. This is the size hook. I've got all that. But it's not working for us. Well, maybe you ought to take the word of God and sow some seeds into the water. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over all the cattle and over the earth and over all creeping things. Yeah, praise God, we got authority over creeps. Over all creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created man, male and female. He created them. Then God blessed them. Here it is. Pay attention. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Did you know that when he said be fruitful and multiply, he wasn't talking about in one area? He was saying be fruitful and multiply in every area of life. Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth, notice, and subdue it. Have authority. Then he said, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So he said, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion. And God said, see, I have given you every herb tree that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. So it shall be for food. Notice God gave mankind two distinct and important gifts. The first gift, found in verse 26, is dominion. So he gave you, gave me, gave us dominion, the right to rule, the right to take authority, the right to subdue, the right to prevail, and the right to dominate. That's important. The second gift, found in verse 29, is our seeds. So he gave you dominion, authority, and seeds. That's what's been given to us as a gift from God. With these two gifts, you can now determine or establish your outcome in life. You don't have to sit around and wait for a break to come your way. You can make your own break. You know, I heard people say this, well, I'm just waiting for my ship to come in. No, you can swim out to your ship and climb on board. You don't have to wait for your ship to come in. Just swim out to it. Climb up on it. You don't have to wait for somebody else to decide when it's your time to succeed. You can determine your own success. You've got dominion, authority, and seeds. Remember, man does not meet our needs. God meets our needs. And he has given us two very powerful gifts so that we can determine our outcome in life. Now, let me talk about when I said you can make your own way of success. I'm not talking about walking independently from God. I'm talking about walking with God, being led by the Spirit of God. You've got the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. Let him show, ask him about this. How, what about this dominion? What about this authority? What about these seeds that you're talking about? Lord, how can I walk in this? How can I get involved with this? I'm pausing because I'm thinking, years ago, before I married Keiko, when I first came to the Lord, I was a very wealthy drug dealer. I was very wealthy. But when I came to the Lord, I soon ran out of money. And it took me about a year to run out of money, and because I had a very lavish lifestyle. And so I went down. I remember a guy came over to my house, and a man who was kind of a mentor to me. And I had a bunch of change on my dresser. And I remember him walking up, and he grabbed a nickel, and he lifted it up, and he's looking at it like this. And I looked at him, I said, what are you doing? He goes, I'm just wondering if this is the one. I go, what do you mean if this is the one? I'm just wondering if this is your last nickel right here, if this could be the last one. He said, God's going to take you down to your last nickel. And he says, because he wants to show you that he is your provision, not you. And he says, you're going to have to learn how to lean on God and walk in the kingdom. And for God, then God is going to bless you. He's going to show you how he wants to bless his children. And sure enough, I almost went down to my last nickel. And I remember how embarrassing it was walking in with I had a lot of camera equipment, so I had a camera bag. And I rolled up all my coins. I had a big sparkless water bottle full of coins. Everybody used to put coins there. So I dumped them all out and I rolled them all up. It was so embarrassing. And I walked into the bank and teller goes, yeah, can I help you? And I lifted this bag up, ka-chunk, and it's this heavy bag. And I open it up and I start pulling all these coin rolls out. And she's going, whoa, 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 whoa. And I said, I go, what do you mean, whoa, whoa, whoa? This is money. I want to cash it for dollars. I don't have any dollars. I need to get rid of these and go to dollars, you know. And so I had to write my phone number on all of them and social security number on all of them in case they weren't counted right. Anyway, but it was so embarrassing. I remember that day, everybody in the bank looking at me, putting these coin rolls up on the thing. Well, yeah, I went down to just about nothing. But I remember one day I was here in the church. I was an elder in the church. And Pastor Bradford was talking about people who were prosperous in the church financially. And he called up about four men in the church. I mean, these men were bankers. They were involved with stock market. I mean, these were some financial heavies. And he called them, and then he called me up. And so he called me, and so I'm standing up there with all these financial heavies, and I'm looking, I'm thinking, why did Pastor Bradford call me up? I'm barely making it. And so I believe that what Pastor Bradford, I believe that was the Lord had him do that to say exactly what was happening. You're my source. God is my source. And I have learned how to lean on God, and I'm learning how to plant seeds within the kingdom. Well, God has prospered me since that day. And it's amazing, especially in the last few years with investments. Is just learning how to listen to the Holy Spirit and walk in investment, sowing financial seed and watching God turn things around and prosper, being led by the Spirit. So when I talk about all this, I am inferring that you are going to be led by the Spirit in your sowing within the kingdom. I totally forgot where I was. A man's harvest in life is based on the seeds that he's sown. Look at Genesis 8:22. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and night and day shall not cease. Isn't it interesting? Now, of course, we have cold and heat, right? Every day we have cold and heat. That's just part of being on earth. Every day we have winter and summer. We have seasons that come. And so we're now in the winter season. And what is another thing that we have? We have day and night because the earth is rotating, is moving, and so the sun, we are moving. And so you have a day, you have a night time. These are constants that are natural constants. But look what he said. He included seed time and harvest. And he says seed time and harvest will function just as sure as the sun comes up tomorrow, just as sure as the seasons come and go, just as sure as you will have heat in the summer and you'll have cold in the wintertime, just as sure as those things, just as sure is seed time and harvest. If you will plant, then you will harvest and you will reap. And so I love the fact that he said that seed time and harvest is a done deal. It's a definite. Look at 1 Peter 1:23, and you can see the definite seed time and harvest that operated in your life. Talking about us being born again, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God. Notice it likens the word of God as a seed, but incorruptible through the word of God that lives and abides forever. The word of God is not corruptible seed. Corruptible seed is a seed that may not produce. Incorruptible seed is a seed that always produces. And the word of God is incorruptible seed. Therefore, it always produces. Notice this verse refers to the word of God as a seed, not just any seed, but incorruptible. It is incorruptible seed because it always produces. It will never fail. What if it doesn't work? That's an impossibility. It always works. If you plant it, remember what Jesus said, the kingdom of God is if a man should scatter seed on the ground, should sleep by night and rise by day, seed sprout and grow, he himself does not know how. So you may not know how it works, but it will work if you'll plant the seed into your heart, the good soil of your heart, and you will stand on that word and not let it go. That word, that seed will eventually grow up. I've got a journaling group. Of men, and we've been meeting together for about 5 years. We actually started in COVID, and we're still meeting together throughout the week, every day. And in this group, we have men that have, one man died in the hospital, went to the hospital and died. He was dead, I forget for how many minutes, and then they revived me. He had a God experience. And man, when he came back, he's telling his wife, he's telling the nurses where he was and what God said and what he'd been. He had a God experience. He was preaching the word inside the hospital. We have another man that in the hospital every month, 911 calls every month. And so we had another man that when I met him, he was in the hospital at Kaiser. That's how I met the man. I got called on a hospital call, met him, and he was in a coma. Couldn't even talk. And his wife was there. I met her. I didn't even know him because he was in a coma. We prayed for him. He came out of the coma. And so in this men's group, there's men, almost every man has had health issues. but has come through it, because they sow seeds of the word of God. And guys were saying, you know, one guy was saying, remember when I used to go to the hospital every month? He says, I haven't been in the hospital now for 2 years. I haven't had a 911. I'm just healthy. I'm just getting stronger every day. Man, those days are over. Those days are past. And all of them have these testimonies. And it's from being in the Word of God on a daily basis, reading the Word. And the Word is a seed. And the Word's growing up in their hearts and in their lives. And it's producing a harvest of health in their lives. Now, you may think, well, these are just young guys. No, I'm probably one of the youngest guys in the group. So we've got guys that are in their 90s. We got guys that are in their 80s. Guys that are, I'm 71. So we've got, I think we got a couple guys that are younger than I am. But a lot of them are older than I am. And you hear their stories and just see they're walking in health today. And they're all part of this church. And they're just strong men of God. And it's not because of them. It's because of what they do with the seed bag of the word of God, that they're planting the word daily. Notice, look at John 1:1. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. How about your beginning? In the beginning was the word. How about your beginning? If God had to begin with the word, so will you. Notice God revealed that the word is equal to himself. They are one. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. Without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. John 1:1-5. So God and his word are one. Jesus and the word are one. What is the common denominator between God and his word? Anybody know? The common denominator between, I hate when pastors do that. I just did it to you. I'll be sitting in the service and Pastor Gary will ask a question. Nobody knows the answer because it's in his notes. And so you can throw out, or you can guess. The common denominator between God and his word is faith material. That is the common denominator between God and his word, faith material. God's system, known as the kingdom of God, operates by faith. Just look at four different scriptures throughout the word of God. All say the same thing. Habakkuk 2:4, the just shall live by faith. And you know, when it uses that word live in the Greek, in the Hebrew language, the word live is the word chai, C-H-A-Y. And it means to flourish, live prosperously. It means wholeness. It doesn't just mean barely getting by. It means a flourishing life. So when it says the just shall live, let me just translate that for you. The just shall flourish by faith. Not just barely get by, but flourish. Romans 1:17. The just shall live by faith. Galatians 3:11, the just shall live by faith. Hebrews 10:38, the just shall live by faith. Hebrews 11:1-2. Now faith, are you ready? You got to pay attention to this one, because you've heard this scripture so many times, but have you really looked at what it says? Now faith is, I'm pausing because faith is, and you need to know what faith is. It is the substance. If you have substance, what do you have? Something tangible. Is that right? If you have substance, you've got something that's tangible. So here, it's saying that faith is tangible. Faith is substance. Now, faith is the substance of things. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, faith, the elders obtained a good testimony. And when it says the elders obtained a good testimony, it implies that the elders, or the mature ones in the church, had a working knowledge of faith and how it produces. And they were implementing that. And so the elders obtained a good testimony because they had a working knowledge of faith substance and how to put it to work. Let's take a look. Let me just say this. Notice it says the evidence of things not seen. If you've got evidence then you've got the proof that a thing exists. Is that right? Did you know that in a court of law, in proving your case, you got to present what? Evidence. If you try to win your case and you don't have any evidence, guess what? You're not going to win your case. It's circumstantial. You're not going to win. But if you can bring in some evidence, if you can bring in some substance that proves your case, then you'll win. Let's look at Hebrews 11:1 in the Amplified Version. I love this. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Woo! You ought to get a hold of that scripture, type it out, put it on your dashboard of your car, put it on your mirror. That's another one of those scriptures that is huge. I remember, now faith is assurance, the confirmation, the title deed. I had a teaching a long time ago, you know, when you owned your car, you had a pink slip. And so I had a teaching called the pink slip of faith. And so if you got a pink slip, man, you got ownership. Well, even I like it better when it says confirmation. Have you ever, you've probably heard me give this analogy before, but if you go to a hotel, if you're going to go stay somewhere, you're going to Hawaii or you're going to book your reservations, when you call and make a reservation, after you do that, and they got the credit card number or whatever, you give them all that, what does the hotel do? Gives you a confirmation number, right? What does that confirmation number do for you? You just gave them money over the phone, and they gave you a number. That number is the proof that when you get there, you're going to have a room. You're not there yet. You really are just taking their word that they're going to have a room for you. You know, sometimes hotels overbook. Did you know that? And so, but if you have a confirmation number, and you get to that hotel, and say, hi, we're here to check in, 2 months later, whatever, I'm here to check in, and you give them your name and everything, and they go, oh, we're sorry. Oops, we accidentally overbooked. Sorry about that. And you go, that's okay. Reach into your pocket, and you pull out your confirmation number, and you slide it across the desk. Now, when they said we overbooked, that could put fear on you, right? But when you pull that confirmation number out, and you slide it across the desk to the attendant, guess who you just put fear upon? The hotel. They go, ooh, you got a confirmation number? Yeah. Now the hotel has to come up with a room for you. Whether they build one overnight, they kick somebody else out and put you in their room, or they find a hotel across town at a better hotel, and they pay to put you in that hotel. I have gone with Keiko. We've gone into a hotel before, booked it and everything. We got there, and the room was not satisfactory at all. It wasn't what we signed up for. And went down to the desk and said, no, 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 that's not what we signed up for. And you know what they gave us? A suite. They says, well, let us show you to the suite. See if this will be adequate for you. When she said suite, it was already adequate. I could have told her right now, we'll take it. But she says, no, I want you, will this be okay? And she took us up the elevator, took us to this double-door mansion. And we walked in and looked around, kitchen and everything else. She says, will this be okay? Oh, this will be just fine. Thank you very much. Did it cost us more money? Didn't cost us a dime. Guess what? We had a confirmation number, and it was better than what we signed up for. And so the confirmation number is the proof that a thing exists. And so the pressure now is not on you. The pressure is on the devil. Because why? You got a confirmation number. What is your confirmation number? The Word of God. Amen? 3 John 2, that's my confirmation number. And I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Praise God. There's a confirmation number right there. Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. These are this. So you got those. You got your confirmation. You could get by his stripes, I was healed. 1 Peter 2:24. That's a confirmation number. By his stripes, I'm healed. So you've got confirmation of the seed of the word of God. The same material that is in God is in his word. The word of God equals faith. Faith in God and faith in his word. So let's look at those chapters again. Habakkuk 2:4. The just shall live by the word. Romans 1:17. Remember it said the just shall live by faith, but now we know that faith in God is faith in his word. So we can switch the word of God in there. The just shall live by the word. Galatians 3:11. The just shall live by the word. Hebrews 10:38, the just shall live by the word. Let's look at Romans 10, 6 through 10. This is a block of scripture that we often use to lead people to the Lord. But I want you to see that this is also about taking the word of God and planting seeds in your life. It says, Romans 10, 6 through 10, but the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Did you know that faith speaks? The righteousness of faith, or the right way of faith, speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. Did you know that faith is in two places? It is in your mouth and it is in your heart. If you have belief only of your in your heart and you're saying you're in faith, you've got 50% of faith functioning. If you want 100% of faith functioning in your life, then you're going to have it in your heart and you're also going to have it in your mouth. You're going to speak words of faith. You're going to speak seed words. You're going to speak the word of God. So what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, the word. Remember, Jesus is the word. John chapter 1, verse 1. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, if you confess with your mouth the word and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart, one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. I just want to look at three different words here. We're almost done. The word confess that's there, you know, we think of confess. Maybe some of you have a Catholic background, and so you're thinking about confession, going to the priest and confessing your sins. But this word confess in the Greek language is the word homologeo, and it's made up of two words, homo and logeo or logos. And so we do know that homo means same, like homosexual. That's why Greek word means same. So homosexual is same sex. And so homo means same. And logos, word. So this word, homologeo, means same word. Or it means to say the same thing as another person. To say the same thing. It means to agree with. The word saved there is the word sozo, S-O-Z-O. It means wholeness, deliverance, protection. Pastor Gary talked about this a couple weeks ago. Wholeness, deliverance, protection. It means to rescue from danger or destruction. So I think a lot of us, we think about if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. And so we think about going to heaven one day. If I confess Jesus Christ here, I'm saved. It means I'm going to go to heaven. When I die and leave this earth, I go to. That's true. You will. But did you know that word saved means saved from everything now in the world that's going around you? Because it means wholeness. Do you need wholeness now? Then you're saved. You want to look at salvation for not just down the road going to heaven, but it means here on the earth, wholeness in every area. It means deliverance. Are there some things you need deliverance from? How about protection? Are there things that you need protection from? Maybe people at work are talking ugly about you. Maybe people are trying to get your job and everything. See, you need protection from that. You need deliverance from that. It means to rescue from danger or destruction. So it does not mean going to heaven one day. It means in all areas of life that you are functioning in now. It means to make well. It also means to heal. And it means to restore. I love that. The word righteousness is a word, dikaiosune, and it means the state, now listen to this, the state of a person who is as he ought to be. Righteousness. Think about that. What is the state of humanity? Is it in the place today? I'm just talking about the world. Is humanity in the place that God designed it to be? No. You want to see how God designed it to be? Go back to Genesis in the garden when God walked with Adam. And there was no sickness. There was no disease. They were in a paradise. It was a good place. There was favor. There was wonderment. There was awesomeness. And so that is the place that God designed man to be in, not in the curse that came after the sin. So I love this. The place of our righteousness as Christians, we are in a place spiritually, figuratively, with the Lord, of the place that we ought to be. God wants to bring us into the place that we ought to be in. In other words, he wants to bring you in a place free from sickness and disease. He wants to bring you into a place that's free from poverty. He wants to bring you into a place where you're free from fear and despondency, where you have peace in your life. You're not worrying about who's going to steal your car or who's going to steal from you. You're not dealing with that because you've got the protection of God in your life. So it's also the state of Christian justification. Do you know what justification is? Being justified. See, a lot of times you think justified. I like to put it down. I heard this a long time ago, and it really stuck with me. Justified. Just if I'd never sinned. Isn't that a good way to remember it? Justified. Just if I never sinned. So what if you never sinned? What if man? Then you'd be back like Adam, living like Adam, in a place of fullness with God. That's the place that God wants to bring us to, in union with him, in that intimacy with him. The state of being without the effects of sin and the established curse. Remember what it said earlier, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. So let me give you, I'm going to read to you Romans 10, 8 through 10. I put together an expanded Bible translation for you, translating the Greek words for you. I made my own amplified version, okay? So, and I wrote it out for you in your notes so you can have it. So let's read it. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess, saying the same things with your mouth as the Lord Jesus, who is the word, and believe in your heart that God had raised him from the dead, that you are now one with him, you will be saved, made whole, and delivered. For with the heart one believes, employing faith, unto righteousness, the state of oneness with him that God has ordained for us to be in, and with the mouth, confession, the declaration or the declaring of his word, gives place to that ordained wholeness, deliverance, and protection in every area of life. Isn't that good? Then that ought to get you excited right there, because that is how God wants us to live. Remember, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. And so this is you. It's described right here in Romans 10, 8 through 10, about taking the word of God, declaring it with your mouth, saying what God says. That's easy to do. Just say and just believe and say what God said in his word. Faith, the word faith is in two places, in your mouth and in your heart. So get the word planted in your heart and begin to release it with your mouth. Amen? So we will expand on this next week. Next week I'm going to be talking about sowing seeds more, but I'm going to really delve into some things and show you out of Peter. And it's really awesome what it says about the word of God as a seed. And I'm going to start showing you some different areas of how to sow seeds. A couple areas you've probably never thought of. And I'm going to show you how you can employ sowing seeds. You know, we all know about sowing financial seed. I just talked about sowing the word of God. But we're going to talk about a couple areas, about one in particular that you probably haven't thought of. And it's a powerful, powerful, it's something that I walk in, it's something that Keiko walks in all the time. And we have seen great, great success in our lives from doing this. I don't know if you realize, and I'm not bragging on us, please understand that. We don't have any prescription drugs. Neither one of us take any prescription drugs. I go in to get my contacts, you know, to get a new contact prescription or new glasses prescription. And the minute I walk in, they hand me a form with all these diseases on it, diabetes, heart disease, blah, 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 all these things. And they give you the clipboard, and you're supposed to check off every one of them that you've got in your body, you know, so they know what prescription, and then list all your meds, all your prescription meds. So the lady brought me the clipboard, and she turned to walk away, and I said, hold on. And she goes, what? I said, and I just took, I drew a circle, and I threw a line through it. I says, zero, here you go. And she goes, no. You don't understand. Mark off all the diseases. And she goes, and then write, list all your prescriptions. Zero, line through it. Don't have any. She goes, you don't have any? She goes, you don't take any pills? Well, I take some vitamin C and I take some supplements. She goes, those don't count. That's not what we're talking about. I says, zero. She goes, how old are you? And I told her, she goes, you don't have any? Don't have any? I says, you ought to talk to my wife. She's 4 years older than I. Oops, did I just say that? Yeah, she robbed the cradle when she married me. And so, so she doesn't have any either. And so this isn't something that you just speak one word and you walk in it. This is something that we live on a daily basis. And so we're always sowing seeds every day. And so we have noticed in our life that we're reaping a harvest continually. And, I know when you look at me, you probably think I'm old, but inside, I feel like I just graduated high school. And you're like, some people are laughing. You feel the same way. Isn't that funny how we see ourselves? Because the spirit never ages. Your body may age, but your spirit never ages. And so I refuse. I remember years ago, I was walking through our living room, and I kind of was hunched over, I guess, and I'm walking like that. And the Lord just stopped me. He goes, stand up straight. He goes, you're walking like an old man. And he says, don't walk like an old man. Don't let that old man thing get into your thinking. He said, stand up straight. Put your shoulders back. He goes, walk like a young man. He goes, you're my kid. You're my son. He said, you walk like an old man. Okay. And so I always remember that. So if I catch myself hunching, then I snap myself back. You know, wait a minute. What was the Lord saying? Don't let that mentality of the world take up residence on the... Don't start thinking like the world. Think like a child of God. Because let me tell you something. Your attitude will determine your altitude. What you see on the inside is how you will live, what you reflect on the outside. Amen? Well, Father, we give you praise and we thank you for who you are to us. We thank you for the word that we have. Lord, drill into us a deeper understanding of what it means to sow seeds in the kingdom. Lord, what does it mean to have the gifts of dominion and seeds that you have given to us? Lord, begin to show us, open up the eyes of understanding to where we can see clearly how to function within the kingdom of God through sowing seeds. And Lord, we give you the praise and we thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen.